Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Today on the show, we've got Ravis. Really excited to have Ravis on. Had a great conversation with Ravis. So I'm really excited for you all to hear it. I feel like I haven't done a good job of getting a lot of Germans on the show yet. And with the German ALTTBR community being so large, I feel like they've been underserved on the 216 podcast. And today, Ravis is the start. So I'm going to try to get some more of the German runners here. I actually like to hear a lot of different perspectives from runners from different countries because their stories are so different. And yet there's a lot of similarities as well, you know, just cultural differences. And learning from people from different cultures and different places in the world is just an awesome bonus to being a part of the ALTTPR community. I really enjoy it. So yeah, we'll get to Ravis soon. Going unscripted today. Didn't really know what I wanted to talk about, and it's a little bit of a bummer because I'm going to talk sports here. The Seattle Seahawks just lost to the Carolina Panthers, and it sucks. Man, losing sucks, especially when you have no control over it. Comes down to expectations, though, right? Like, going into the season, the Seahawks were supposed to be a pretty bad team. Like, I was cool with whatever happened, and then they started winning, and expectations changed. But they are regressing towards what everyone thought they were at the beginning of the season. So I don't even know. It's tough. I think there's something that can be translated to Rando through all of it, right? Like managing expectations. Everyone wants to win. I want to win. And when it doesn't go your way, how do you handle it? It's not even tilt, right? It's more of just disappointment. I think the hard part for me when it comes to losing isn't so much like the tournament races or the league races. I think for me, it's losing to my friend group. I think that's harder for me. I think part of it is because of who I play with. Like, my friend group are like really good. They're like some of the best runners in the entire community. And so when you play pickup races with them, and they consistently beat you, it feels like you're not progressing. When really what's happening is I'm playing against the best, so it helps me get better when I play others. So really it's just about changing the perspective, changing my outlook on how I go about these races. Like playing against wall kicks consistently in cross keys, playing against Ramon consistently in cross keys, makes me a better cross keys player because I learn from them. I see what they're doing. I see how they're routing the same seed. It challenges me. It pushes me even when I lose. Maybe that's the perspective I could take. I think it's hard just dealing with disappointment too, right? Like football, I had no control. And in this randomizer, you do have control, but it is random. You can follow the logic, but there's a randomness that's out of your control. So what do you do? Just keep swimming, I guess, right? Like Dory says, just keep swimming. I don't know. All I know is that I'm pissed off. Stupid Seahawks. Let's get to some of the open league playoff. We've got some teams already advancing. The Invitational playoffs will start today. So we'll be covering that on the next episode. But for the Open, we've got some results. So we have Taunt the Frog over the Pug Hunters. They won 3-0. Right now, we've got Crystal Roller Crew up 2-1 on the long shots. Asai is up 2-0 on NDA. Aga's Backup Dancers took out You Got Poutine on My Cheesesteak 3-0. But We're Buddies is up 2-1 on Great Name Pending. Saha's Kids won 3-1 against Die Nyssen Freger. Yet Another Bonk won 3-1 over No Shovel No Go Mode. And Spoiler Luck won 3-0. Against Rage Against the Minette. So 5 of the 8 matchups are finished, and they'll be playing next Monday against the teams with the bye. Everything gets reseeded, so the top seed will play the lowest remaining seed. Now, we do have one of the matchups set for round 2, and that's Kabuki Hundo Activist Department. They'll be taking on Aga's Backup Dancers. So that would be pretty cool. The playoffs have been a lot of fun to watch over on Speed Gaming. And I think there's been a couple on the league channels as well. So check those out. It'll be a busy week as the Invitational kicks off. Looks like we got 2 races today on Monday, December 12th, with Radical Sniper taking on Telethar. That's JK LOL versus the OK Dudes. That, I believe, is Pseudo Boots Cross Keys. And then we have Maniacal versus JP. That's Bottles on Empty versus WJPDTB. And they're doing some Kaz boots. And then if you look at the schedule, which you can find at schedule.speedgaming.org/INVLeague, there's a whole bunch of races this week. For the Divine Beastie Boys, I will be playing Homemade Beer on Wednesday, December 14th at 3:10 Eastern. We're going to be playing Open Hard MC Shuffle. We've got Gamma Chew versus Moogle Charm on Friday, December 16th at 1:10 p.m. Eastern. So check that one out. And then our third match isn't scheduled, but I think it's going to be next week. And that will be Ramon versus Julo Ninja. So really excited to play against this team, as we're friends with the whole crew. And it's fun to play against your friends until they beat you. 216 Weekly still going on. We had the craziest seed last week with a Gold Rush plus Key Sanity. I don't want to give it away. I would recommend checking out the VOD on my Twitch. I am slowly uploading them to YouTube, so you can check them out there. But this Gold Rush plus Key Sanity mode was bananas. It was chosen by James FNX. He was actually in the booth with me to go over this crazy seed. And we had Scottish Brave versus Captain 1977. Captain was able to take the win. And for next week's mode, has chosen 80 keys with boots. So that's what we'll be playing this Saturday, noon Eastern. There will be no restream for the rest of December. There's just too much going on for me on Saturdays with the holidays and family stuff. So no restream, but we still will have the races. Another reminder, there are bonus episodes to all my Twitch subscribers. So if you subscribe to my Twitch account, twitch.tv/fearagent_, you get access to a channel in the Discord that has access to each bonus episode that drops with every episode on Monday. At the end of the season, I will be taking all those episodes and putting them in one giant episode and releasing them on the main feed. So no one will miss out on these episodes. But if you want early access to them, use your Prime sub on my Twitch account. All right, so let's get to Ravis. Really great conversation with Ravis. We talk a lot of different stuff. I learn about handball. I learn a lot of different stuff about Ravis. I love doing the show. I love hearing their stories. I love hearing people's perspectives and like learning about different like cultural things as well. And had a great time talking with Ravis. I hope it comes through. So let's get to it. Here's Ravis. All right, Ravis.
I'm ready.
Thanks for doing the show, man.
Man, I thank you. I mean, it's nice to be part of something like that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear your story. I haven't had a lot of Germans on the show, and I feel like the German community might be a little underrepresented on 216 so far. So you're here to kind of get the German quota up.
I mean, someone has to, right? So someone is.
Yeah, someone's always the first. Then Ravis.
Yeah.
You've been around for, gosh, longer than I've been. When did you first start playing Link to the Past Randomizer?
That must be around the time where Andy and Christos Owen were playing it as at GDQ. I think a little bit earlier than that, because I've seen that Key Sanity tournament that was running at the time. But I've seen Zelda 1 randomizer before I even went to a Link to the Past randomizer. And even was very mad about a Link to the Past randomizer, because always I was missing my races that I wanted to watch from Z1. And then at some point, I said, I don't want to miss the next match, so I'm going to watch this now, so I can't miss. And then it was a super close race and was super exciting, so I kept watching a Link to the Past. And yeah, that's how I got into it. So I think it's like January 2018 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was same for me. That was a really big moment as far as my like rando history would go. What about when you were growing up? What was it like for you? You're German. You've always been in Germany, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? Because I don't have that experience. What was it like growing up in Germany playing video games? Did you have a big video game history? I don't know what was available to you guys as you were growing up.
So I would say I'm I wasn't one of the kids who got the newest console or anything. I started not playing video games, but the classic I'm watching over the shoulder of my brother video games type of style, like when I was five and in 1996. God damn, that sounds so long if I think about it. And it's I think a year later, something like the Pokemon Blue edition was one of the first big games I played for me. And one of the others was also Link to the Past, because at the time I was already playing some some of these emulator games, a lot of them that didn't make it to Germany, basically, or to Europe from the SNES games. And this was a good time. And if you think about growing up in Germany with video games, definitely for most of us, I would say parents were still kind of, well, I would say conservative at the time. You know, they grew up under the our grandparents that came from World War II. So there was no big time fun for them in their youth. And stuff like video games were like things like children with 4, 5, or 6 years old. So my mom was always, like saying that this is just nice to enjoy it here sometimes, but no, nothing that you can really make something out of.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's accepting that I'm still playing. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. Times have changed since then. So you said this is the late 90s, then you were playing on emulator more than you were playing on actual console?
No, that's just what I started with. Like, emulator was something that's always like a companion on my gaming way, I would say. It was always like there, or was like sometimes more or less in my life. But I really started with like the N64, PlayStation 1. Those were where I really got into it and bought my own games, basically.
I see.
And yeah, I mean, it continued with a Nintendo GameCube, you know, the classic. And then I think later I had an Xbox 360. So yeah, I've been there from like when I started. I've never let go of it completely. But obviously there's times where you don't have that much time to play right now, because life is coming up.
Right. So Pokemon Blue, I mean, you might be surprised to hear this. I've never played a Pokemon game. I'm not really familiar with Pokemon at all. What is Pokemon Blue, a SNES game, a Game Boy game? What where was that?
That was a Game Boy game, like for the original gray big Game Boy, you know, who you could smash someone's head with. These big things. It was fun, definitely. I mean, I still have it. The original edition that I, at the time, bought. Yeah, this was a great experience. Like, you felt like you were really a Pokemon trainer at the time, you know? And then taking the link cable, fighting against the Pokemons of your friends and stuff. And this was a good time back then.
Is that what it was? You're able to actually play with your friends? Because I actually never had one of those original Game Boys. I played some of my friends. I played like Tetris and Super Mario Land and stuff like that. But I never had one, so I didn't really get a chance to get into things like Pokemon, which were kind of big on the Game Boy. So you were able to actually connect it to another Game Boy through a wire and play Pokemon with each other?
Yeah, I mean, this was more like trading and fighting, obviously. But the thing was at the time such a link cable. It was really rare. So if you found someone who had such a possible option, or like a possibility to connect with each other, you got to take them as a friend.
Sure. Try to find anyone that can play this with you. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, we were a lot of people. It's just nobody like basically had this connection cable, or like a few people only. Because like this was like, if you don't have someone who you know you're going to play with, then most people wouldn't buy it, right? Because like, sure, it would be nice to have it. Like today, it's completely different, but at the time, that was a different spirit, I would say, about having like these options to play with each other.
Mm-hmm. Was there any games that interested you in speedrunning? Did you have an idea that you'd be into speedrunning? Because Link to the Past Randomizer isn't speedrunning, I guess, but it's on the cusp of it, right?
I mean, it is a different form of speedrunning. It's not the classic speedrunning what you think it is, but it is still a form of speedrunning.
Right.
I've been in the OOT community for a long time, more like a passive watcher specifically, and, you know, offline tryout and player. But I've never like really speedrun before, even though I did some like OOT Any% later on. But for like 10 years, I was a heavy ZFG watcher, Cheese at the time when he played OOT, the time when OOT 100% basically was on its peak, where so many players played OOT 100%, and you could go into any chat, even if they're only practicing, you could play OOT yourself, try to get some setups, have fun with the streamers. That was a good time, but I've never actually speedrun like basically anything. Like I tried here and there later, but for most of the time I was more an enjoyer of speedrunning.
Sure. More casual stuff than getting into the speedruns. Did you grow up being competitive? Because you said you had an older brother. Were you trying to be competitive, or did you ever end up getting into any sort of like competitive games maybe later on?
I mean, for me personally, I think if I think about the competitive side of gaming, I definitely have to mention Counter-Strike here. That's something like I played when I was 14, and I'm 31 now, so that's actually quite a lot of time.
Was it 1.6?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was super into Counter-Strike too. I mean, I had a huge, it was mostly Source. I had a clan and we had lands, and I ended up getting the job that I currently have now through the clan that I was playing Counter-Strike in. So yeah, I was super into Counter-Strike for a good like 5, 6, 7 years.
That's amazing. I've been into a couple of teams, but never really made it big time. Like we played some ESL stuff, but never like made it anywhere mentionable, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But you were playing competitively then, Counter-Strike. That was sort of your into some sort of competition video game wise?
I mean, not with other people outside of my neighborhood, I would say. Like Counter-Strike was as far as it was able to go, because I did a lot of IRL sports. I had done a couple of sports and clubs, so there wasn't really the big time for that. And also, again, my mom wasn't quite the friend of video gaming, specifically if I wanted to invest time. And if you want to play something competitively, obviously you need to take some time to, you know, practice, learn stuff, analyze. And yeah, that was not that much possible. I was more of a handball and a soccer player.
I see.
Yeah, I did some athletic
soccer. You actually call it soccer?
I don't know what to say, because all the time if I say football, everybody's like, wait, which football do you mean? So I got used to saying soccer now, because that makes things easier. Yeah. Even though I hate it myself.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I hear someone from Europe use the word soccer, because it just feels so it almost feels wrong. So you were into sports then. Sports was your competitive outlet
big
then.
Time. Even now, I'm still playing handball. Like, I don't know if you know the sports. It's basically, it kind of looks a little bit like a combination of basketball and football. Like you have a half circle around a small goal. And this half circle is like 6 meters. Circlement, I think is what you call it. And I'm not sure. But anyway.
That's fine. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I got the idea of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to dribble like in basketball. And this is a heavy body contact sport. Like, if you're afraid to get touched by someone, potentially even get a little bit hurt, you are wrong here. This is a full body contact game. Not as hard as rugby, obviously, or like football can be, because we don't have that big of a space, but we also do not have any protection gear besides maybe on the knees. But it's super fun, and Germany is one of the, if not the nation of that sport. So it was pretty easy to get in for me as like in Germany, because it's a very well recognized sport.
So how big is the ball? Is it like a basketball size ball, or is it smaller?
No, it's definitely smaller. It is, how big is it? I mean, I have one here.
It's like bigger than like a tennis ball, right?
For sure.
But smaller than a basketball.
Yeah, I would say it's about half of the basketball. Like you can take it with one hand, but depending on the grip, this can be hard if you have smaller hands. Like a woman would not fit really fit with the with the ball that's used for men, but obviously they have like a little bit smaller ones. So for them, sure. But this is around, I think there's a, what's it called? There's this other sport where you throw the ball against the opposition team. And then they're out.
Uh-huh. Oh, dodgeball?
I think it is dodgeball, right? And I think the ball is a tiny bit smaller than that one.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So like when you're dribbling it, people can just like come up and run into you and try to take the ball away from you. Is that how it works?
So, I mean, if you have it in both hands, they are not allowed to just take it. Most of the time they will like try to hold you, literally hold you like. With the left hand trying to hold the arm where you have the ball, so you can't really pass it around, you know, lay the other arm around your body to keep you in position. So it's like you have to be ready to either stop someone who's taking like two or three steps and fully rushing into you, jumping up and then, you know, throwing the ball, trying to get the goal.
I have to look into this because it sounds awesome.
It is. It can really be cool. Very crazy. I can link you up later on or something because it is a very exciting sports in my eyes. But there's tons of sports that are actually exciting. We have no idea about them.
Sure. Sure. I'm just learning about cricket. I think that's actually pretty interesting.
I think that's cool.
Sport.
Mm-hmm. It's just nothing for me because I have to be, you know, very quiet and focus very much. And I'm a way too emotional human being to ever do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're playing handball growing up and football as well?
Yeah. I mean, I did even more things. I was once in a chess club for a couple of years. I played the piano for like 13 years, even competitively on like competitions and stuff. I've done athletics a little bit. I had a small time of hockey. Like basically every day I had something because my mom probably wanted to, you know, tire me out so I'm not going to annoy her in the evening.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So that sense of competition has been in you since you can probably remember then, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, because I know there's like different aspects of rando for everyone. Like some people learn to like multi-world and some people are super competitive and I you know, there's some are a little bit more casual, it's whatever, but as long as I've known you in the community, you're a very competitive person and always trying to do their best and win. So I can see where that kind of mentality in you was first developed.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest feelings I think I had in all of these sports, or again, piano, or even rando, it doesn't matter. If you're at a point where you are not able to do something either good or not consistently, and you analyze yourself trying to get better, and you're working, you know, you put dedication into it, and then you see results in like form. In the same screens, right? And Randall, when you suddenly see, okay, my strats are working. I can suddenly at least beat some other guys who were way more experienced, and then maybe beat them another time, and you get more motivated and you get deeper into it. You want to know about that more. Like, I like this feeling of getting you this great journey of experience. And what I mostly like about Randall is, since this is like, for most people of us, the first time that we are in a competitive environment where we are at the top level, basically, you get to see all of these anime characters, right? Like these Hitsuyans who know and think that nobody can beat them, which I love, because Hitsu's like one of these guys who's super confident, he's super good, but damn, he can maul when he loses. The same with me. I mean, I'm not different in that respect, right? So, and all these different guys. You have Eri, who's super helpful, who's so like recognized by the community. You have that big guy like Andy, who's like drawing a lot of viewers to the community themselves. You have people like, I don't know, even like my teammates in League, like Kermit, the crazy one who likes to do anything. Basically, oh, I have an idea, I'm going to do it. Does it make sense? No, but I'm Kermit, right. So I'm going to do it. Right. And for good reason, he's so right with his decisions. I don't know what he drinks in the morning, but damn, it must help.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When did you start watching Twitch or getting into like watching video games online? Was it through YouTube Let's Plays or was it Twitch? Or do you remember when you first that kind of came about?
I think that was like, I think I was 17 or 18. So I don't know. I don't remember how I came to Twitch, to be honest. Obviously, YouTube was earlier in my life than Twitch because I think at the time I was still just on TV. Like, I don't know, 15 years ago or 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when it came out big, who did I watch first? I want to say it was Cosmo Wright, I think. I think it's Legendary 1810 and OOT Any Percent. That was a very breaking run at the time. One of the first things I saw on Twitch in a VOD or in like in a highlight, and then I, you know, stumbled about that site again, and you know, found out, oh, they're live streamers, interesting, they're gamers, there's some cool content here, and I think that's how I got like that to the site.
So you keep going back to OOT. Was that like your favorite game then? Because it feels like you kind of kept gravitating towards. Towards OOT when you're watching stuff, or
back in the day, for sure. Back in the day, I think OOT was for a couple of years because it was so crazy with all these tricks. And you know, when you play at home and suddenly you do one or two easy things and you're amazed, you think, wow, this game is insane. That's not how I knew this game. And it was so much to discover that for a couple of years, this was probably my favorite game, even though it was already out 15 years ago. And yeah, there were different games that I like, but OOT definitely has its history for me, at least. Same with A Link to the Past, that's more current, basically.
Sure. So Pokemon Blue, you said, was your first. When you think back on some of the older games as you were kind of going through those consoles that you mentioned earlier, do you have some that stick out as like, these were my favorite games to play growing up?
Oh, damn. I think there at least in that list would be a lot of Zelda games, like Twilight Princess and all the stuff, like casually. Basically, every Zelda I played, I really liked. It didn't matter which console. That's the insane part about it. Like, it was always good, even on the handheld.
Yeah.
But there was a time, and I'm not proud of it, but I played Mate in 2. I don't know if you don't know that. This online MMO that doesn't cost anything, but pretty much nobody played it, but everyone saw at some point a Facebook ad on it. Something like that. I played for a couple of months, and this was a time where I was like very much into MMORPG. Never again. It was nice, but I can see why pay to win at some point, you know, gets to you. And I never wanted to pay to win for anything. I hated that principle, basically, because I was so competitive. And I wanted to have equal chances for everyone. And I understand that companies have to make money at some point. But that was the moment where I was like, okay, it's nice for the start and stuff. But the moment, you know, you take ages to level and stuff, that's nothing for me. Then there came Counter-Strike and also Dota 2.
Okay.
But Dota 2 was already in my 20s. So we're talking about the last like 8-9 years where where I've been in a team and stuff, 2013, 2014. Also a good and nice time, but with these MOBAs, you know, you have to keep up with them every patch, and that was too much for me at some point.
Right.
But yeah, I had a lot of good games for me, at least, that brought me, you know, one step closer to here where I am right now, and not regretting anything right there.
Sure. When you said never again for MMOs, is it because of the nature of the game, or is it more the pay to win model that you're talking about?
I mean, some of them feel kind of the same. I don't know how I made it around World of Warcraft. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me why. I looked at my mom. She asked me if I play World of Warcraft anytime. I think that was a couple of years ago. And I said, Mom, you wouldn't believe me, but I don't know myself why I never played that game. Why I never got addicted or interested in the game, because that sounded like the perfect game for me, and I never touched it. So probably the previous experience having already played such a game for a longer time, just never, you know, let me grasp an interest of World of Warcraft mm-hmm. or any of the
MMOs. Yeah, probably for the best, right?
Of 100%. Like, I could have been addicted to that. And I've met a lot of people. Yeah. I don't know about you. I think probably you know someone who has played World of Warcraft a lot, like a lot. So,
yeah. I mean, you mentioned Hitsu earlier. We lose the guy. We play with him all the time. And then some sort of update or something comes out for it. And he's been like, at the start of the league, he's been MIA. I don't know what he's doing. He's playing World of Warcraft all nonstop.
Well, you have to see from the positive side, right? For example, I know that Hitsu and the Lane actually met in World of Warcraft before, you know, going to raid together. So maybe Hitsu's just fishing
new talents. Yeah, that is awesome. Sure. Yeah. It's easy to shit on stuff, but it's also fun to look back and see how it's impacted the things positively as well. So let's kind of get back into Rando.
Sure.
You see the race, you kind of see some runs going, you get interested. When do you start picking up the game, and did it take you a while to start racing, or how soon did you get into racing it?
So when I first started playing Rando, that was in the beginning of 2018. I didn't have the computer to stream. So racing in that regard was at least not easy for me. I didn't know anyone, basically. So what I did was I did play for myself around a half a year, maybe a little longer. And then I was able to buy a new computer, and I was making sure that I can stream on Twitch because I was hyped about all this Rando stuff that was going on. I still have a tweet, a very, very old tweet, where I was tweeting at the A Link to the Past randomizer saying that I'm ready to join the forces and, you know, take the community by storm. And I was super hyped that I can finally join a lot of people. And that was the perfect timing because that was like in the summer of 2018. And then like one or 2 months later, that was the first German tournament. I didn't know anyone, but I was able, you know, to compete with others. And it was so much fun doing that I just kept going. And as frustrating as it a lot of times is in Rando, it is still cool to compete with everyone on, you know, on these tournaments and ladders and dailies. I still think it's super cool and it's super fun that we can do that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the German community is probably the second largest community in all of Rando next to the States, right? It's a really big, strong community. When you got in, there was a German tournament going on. Was the community pretty big at that point already?
I mean, the first German tournament still had, I think, 64 players, but there were different names that you will never see again in the German tournament, like names like El Magus, for example. Like
I remember El Magus, yeah.
And we had a couple of these, but what's more interesting is that to the second tournament, a lot of people of the first one weren't there. But from the second tournament going on, the community basically was increasing. Like, we have a lot of people who started in the second tournament and are still playing here on this day. And I don't know why a couple of the ones in the first tournament didn't enjoy it that much. Maybe they were just done with Rando at the time. But it's interesting to see that most people that are competing at the tournaments are continuing, because I think the hunger is there for people, and we have a good community to, you know, welcome someone and help them out when they want to learn. And I think the timing of the German tournament is always pretty good because it's always right before the main tournament. So people who start playing Rando in the German community get told that there's for once the qualifiers where they can, you know, compete with others. And even if they don't make the main tournament, we have that Challenge Cup as well. So people definitely can stay, because after that national tournament, you always have some international stuff. And that's what people enjoy there.
Why do you think it's so big in Germany? Is it just everyone's sharing it with their friends and everyone's into it? Or what do you think it is?
I think there was So generally, I would say the work of the admin communities in general to welcome new players is very good. All mm-hmm. over the time, this is one of the most important things, I think. If you want to have new members, new people in your community, you have to welcome them in a way that they don't feel pressured and have options to explore for themselves. And I think that was one of the biggest thing that we could offer here. Even though, I mean, the German community can be as toxic as the one in the States, right? Obviously.
I mean, yeah, any community can be toxic. You're never going to find a community that doesn't have some sort of toxicity into it. It's just how much can you manage the toxicity, right?
Exactly. There weren't many German streamers at the time, I think, when we were like, you know, playing the daily races on IRC, SRL points, right? Hunting those. Mm-hmm. And time after time, people came. And that was like a big tree, right? Like you had one person, then you had two, then you had four, eight and stuff. And it just kept going. And I'm surprised myself that we are still growing like hell. Now we have that Denzen, you know, that who's a couple of months into Rando or playing actively Rando. He's bringing new people, obviously. And Twitch in general is booming in Germany even more than it was like 10 or 15 years ago. And I think that's like one part, one big part, that there are so many German community members and even growing numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome to see. It's really cool to see how many Germans are playing and how big that community is. It's almost like there's just so many that it's like you said, can have their own tournament and have so many people competing in it. No other country has that going, right? Like, I know the Spanish speaking communities have kind of banded together, but the numbers aren't what the Germans are, and the French are doing that as well, and the numbers aren't what the Germans are. It's just cool to see the game really explode over there.
But to I be think fair, it's really the cool. French community is pretty big. I don't know is if it? They're smaller than us, but they are still pretty big, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, we benefit from basically the language, right? It's not just Germany. Mm-hmm. Like Erie is Dutch, Hitzu is Dutch,
right?
Ramont is Austrian, right? We have a lot of German speaking people. I don't want to like degrade them or anything, but it's not just Germany. We have to make sure that we take everyone in, and a lot of people are very welcome, even though they might not speak the strongest German. And we have also some people like Jubro, like Julian Berlin, who's a German French, I would almost say, even though he's actually French, but he lives in Berlin for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I count him as one of our members for sure. And we have so many like connected players who like identify with the German community and a different community as well, like mostly the international, obviously, but also stuff like that. So I think that's pretty cool. And the language gives us the option to fish for more people. I mean, Germany still has a fourth of the inhabitants that the US does, right? We still have 83 million people here, plus Austria, plus Switzerland. So we're getting around 100 million. So it's not too shabby from the amount of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So the Seattle Seahawks were just in Munich this last weekend.
Yeah.
And it was one of the coolest things to see, like the German fans in Munich. They were so intense and they were so into it. And it's a, you know, American football, and yet they were so like passionate. And because I'm a Seahawks fan, there was a lot of like behind the scenes stuff going on during the week. So we got to see a lot of different like touristy stuff in Munich as well. And it just seems like such an awesome place. And I along with a lot of the other American football fans, were so impressed by just how cool and passionate the German people were for a sport that's not even their own.
It's weird to say that for me, being proud of something in Germany, as you can understand, that's a bit of a twisted feeling. But I think it's, we can be pretty proud to be very open to new things. It was the same with the WWE, right? There was this guy, Tim Visa, a former soccer or football player, whatever you want to call it now. And he was like, it was in question if he would like to join the WWE. And they had like a show match in, I think, Frankfurt. And similar to the to this football game that they had in Munich right now, I think they could have sold around 3 million tickets. And that's and that's insane because there's something new in town and people want to see that, right? People want to experience what it is. And obviously, Super Bowl and stuff is also very big here. Not as big as in the US. It's more like you have to know your people. But a lot of people will watch it because it's just once a year for us that's in the news, basically. So everybody gets reminded. Right. And then, you know, everybody likes a little bit of a competition here. And surely it's the same with, like, the World Cup coming up in Qatar.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think people are very open, specific to US-related things, obviously for historical reasons as well. But there are a lot of things that we think overseas are cool. There are always some things that we don't like overseas. We won't import those. Like, I'm sorry to say, but keep Orange Man to yourself. We don't want it again.
What's that?
The Orange Man. I mean, that politics Orange Man. Well, let's not get into that one.
Right. I got it. I got what you said. Yeah, for sure.
We are over here and thinking, hopefully everybody forgets where his dad came from.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. To close up the gap on the whole, like, because I don't want you to have to speak for all of Germany and all of the German runners. I want you to hear your story and stuff for sure. But it was cool to see how passionate it was over there. And I know that the people in the NFL were like, we got to go back. And I think it'd be an awesome place to see a Super Bowl, honestly. I think it'd be really cool to have a Super Bowl.
If that would happen, and Germany. I could get a ticket, I might literally consider it. Because, like, when will I ever get the chance to see the literal best football on earth that will never come to Germany except that moment? Because that's a chance that I want to take. Right.
Yeah. I imagine tickets would be super hard to get, though, because just for a regular season game, Seahawks versus the Buccaneers, I heard, like, the requests were insane, like, just insane. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Back to Rando when you got started. Man, we got circled around. Back to Rando when you first got started, you actually, and I don't know how much you want to go into this, but you became a meme for a while. Do you remember the meme of who the fuck is Ravis, or was it who the fuck is Ravis, or who the fuck is this guy, or something like that? Do you remember that?
It was
because that was early on when you started.
God damn it, why am I know who it is, but it I'm not getting the name Gloin. Right now. It's on my tongue.
Gloin, of course, who hasn't raced in a long time, but was a really good runner, and you were new to the community. And the meme of, I think you beat him and he was like upset, or he just didn't know who you were. And it that circled around for,
I mean, he's the reason why I want to meet Uckington, whoever that is, because he did the same thing with him than with me. But I think that was a race where he was sure he's going to win. And he was like finishing Moldom 2, hooking over, and then like, Ravis? Who the fuck? Who are these people? And I didn't even see it. Like, it was Delane who showed me. And I didn't even know that it became a big meme. I knew some people were talking about it, but mostly from the German community. And when I was at SG Live in 2019, we traveled together, Herfi, the Lane, Jem, and myself. And we were picked up by Korek, Ak the Boker. And I was, when I first met them, I didn't even know who was who, because, like, I hadn't had the biggest connection yet to the international guys, at least only I would say only to the names, but not to faces.
Sure.
And Korek was like, hello, I'm Korek, nice to meet you, Ravis, and stuff. And then I came to Ak, and Ak looked at me, and I held out my hand, and this guy didn't even take my hand. He waited for a second or two and shaked his head and only said, who the fuck are you? and then started laughing. So I was shocked for a moment because like I didn't know how to react. And then when he laughed, I knew he was just talking about the meme. So yeah, that was like my first big experience. Like, oh, I think more people than I thought have seen this clip. And I went back to it and it had like, I don't know, a couple of hundred clicks. So I knew, okay, a couple of people have seen that. Yeah. So yeah, cool, I guess.
It sort of came and went, but it was, I mean, I thought it was funny because again, you and I started around the same time and here comes a new guy, just like me, beating one of the, you know, bigger names in the community. And I don't know, it was a good moment as a new runner.
I think that actually was my first daily win at the time, if I remember correctly, maybe my second. Like there was a time where I played daily so aggressively, I stood up at night to get the American one because that one was mostly, well, I wouldn't say easier, but there were only, and I say only, like a Buane. And maybe one or two more at the time that was so insanely good. There was no additional Bonta, the Lane, and whatever the guy's names is that joined in the EU times at the time. So I was very aggressively trying to get that one daily, even if it's like an open, a standard, a Kisanity, nothing crazy, basically. And when I finally got it, I think that was basically the race. And Gloin made himself a legend.
Yeah, for sure. So back in the day when you and I started, there was one SRL races and two, the dailies. There was two dailies on Speed Gaming. It was like a 2 p.m. Eastern and a 9 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. And I think those were like the main ways of racing rando. There was pickup races here and there going on, but those were like the two big dailies. You had the Saturday race and I think the Sunday race. The Saturday, I think, was Casual Boots and the Sunday was Open Weekly.
It was standard at the ladder. It was standard. Was it standard Saturday and also not restreamed? But it was also earlier than the Sunday race. But yeah, in general, that was our competitive environment plus the tournaments, right?
Right, but there wasn't like a tournament constantly going like there is now. There was like the main tournament, and you talked about a little bit about the Kisanity tournament, and there was some tournaments here and there, but it wasn't like, it feels like we're in a different part of rando where things are constantly going with a ladder and a tournament after tournament after tournament after tournament.
I mean, massive props to Danka, right? With the switch from IRC to race time, there was some sort of a hangover, I would say. Plus, I think it was COVID at the time that was just starting around, if I remember correctly. And then more or less, Danka with his team single-handedly saved the competitive environment. And not even only saving it, but bringing it to the next level, like being able to compete every day for actual points, not for SRL points who were messed up as hell. So, like, that was a completely different.
Shout out to D
Will. Yeah, D Will, the legendary number 10, by the way, on the leaderboard. I looked at the leaderboard like a week ago when I was talking to someone else, saying, "Yeah, we were running on SRL," and he said, "What is SRL?" And I was like, "Oh man, you're such a freshie, bro." So,
do you miss those days though of the big races of the, you know, because now it's everything's more one on one, and back then it was giant group races. What do you prefer, the one-on-one, or what are your thoughts there?
Since a year, I'm actually kind of joining like every two or three weekends at the weekly Sundays. So I'm actually still having these big races. Like did you see last Sunday? Holy moly, did you see that lineup? That was like Gamachu, that was Schulzer, Artie Walsh. There were so many, like Ninjembro, there were so many good races. It almost felt like a throwback race because there were so many good names. Like usually when I play these weeklies, I'm at the top or maybe the second top on the points with my, I don't know, 2,700 points. And then suddenly these 3K dudes come in and say, yeah, you guys, we're going to take over here. And everybody's going into Canelis Meyer and is right. So, I got showed by these guys. And I like that still. Like, I like the qualifier stuff. Like, finally a moment where we can clown without, you know, feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's sure. still cool, like trying to get the optimal route to get the slightest edge against some of the super strong runners trying to win the game. Because like when I started with these big races, I always was like 8th or 9th place. And then at some point I talked to like Hitsuyan and Kermit at the time, and they were like, well, if you want to go and win a race, you certainly have to take some risks. And mm-hmm. it was no one other than Kermit who basically taught me how to win a daily. He was like, and when one point in the race, like, okay, don't clear anything anymore. Just go to Turtle Rock. Your ice rod is going to be there, I bet. And I didn't do it, but he was right in the end. So I tried to listen to yeah. him a little bit more and look at where we are now. So,
So as you started playing more, what was your ideal choice for playing competitively? Was it try to join all the main tournaments? Have you joined every main tournament since you kind of became a part of the community?
If you count the qualifiers, yes. But my first qualifiers were like every qualifiers, besides that I was way worse because I had 4 good races and I wanted to have a nice 5th race. I was like in the 3rd quartile or something. And then I messed up, but I wasn't satisfied with just being at it, and I played myself out of the groups. But wow. That led me to the Challenge Cup, where some interesting mm-hmm. names like Kisama, like Walter, Wall Kicks, mm-hmm. like there were so many Wall good Kicks, names. Yeah. We were super stacked at the time. And that was a great experience. Like it was a time where Inverted came out. And everybody mm-hmm. in the main tournament had to play the normal Inverted, and we added Inverted keys. So basically everyone in the main tournament was like hammered, blinding all around, dying. And we were like getting easy access for CAC and stuff, and we were like laughing about it. So that was pretty cool, and ended up in the quarterfinals. And that was a super fun and super interesting experience, because like when you go to through such a tournament, with like deeper into the stage, you get into that. You get at some point into that, you mm-hmm. get your competitive spirit, you see, oh, other guys, you watch them, you learn from them, you try to see their tendencies, like you try to analyze the game even before it happens. And that was so cool that I wanted to keep going. And then the last 3 years, yeah, I made it to the tournament, to the main tournament, always in the 3rd quarter, but always as the first place in the groups, but also always going out in top 64. So I'm consistent there at least, right? Yeah.
It's hard to be that consistent in rando, man. That's pretty crazy. But making top 64 is a feat unto itself, right? Like getting out of groups in the main tournament is not easy.
Oh, definitely. I mean, in hindsight, I'm proud of any tournament that I've played thus far. Like, there's a stat. I'm a stat lover sometimes. I'm sorry, Fear. But for example, there's a little stat that I'm a bit proud of. It's like every group I attended with going into playoffs, I ended up in first place in all the tournaments I played. Wow. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But also my playoff matches mostly didn't go too well, at least in the international part. So there is some catch up. And it is frustrating when you finish your group first and you play against a quote-unquote easier opponent in second place of another group, and then you get 2-0 mm-hmm. or 2-1, whatever. It is frustrating. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I played people like Relkan, right? I played good people. It's not like I was the clear right. favorite in any of the games. Like, this is always a 50-50 thing in Rando at such a high level, basically. You have to perform. You need that little bit of luck. You need to, you know, take some risks here and there, play the percentage maybe, and then, you know, hope for the best and just try to play better than the other runner. Mm-hmm. And for now, it wasn't on my side, the luck or the execution. I mean, it's not like my brain is always working 100%. We've seen that this league enough times already. Like there's still a lot to improve in my consistency, so as long as that's there, I'm probably gonna keep continuing until I'm too frustrated.
Sure. So you mentioned league, let's talk Team Hime. First of all, Team Hime, what's the name?
That's Team Princess.
What is that, baby?
That's Team Princess. Hime is just the Japanese word for princess.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's that easy, basically. It's from an anime that we all three watched. And there was this song to basically make people faster. And we showed you that once, right? I think that Hime Hime song.
I think so, yeah.
So, and we said, you know what? Just imagine that song when we were like climbing GT and getting that value of seconds out of the good gauntlet. And I don't know, it just was like that. Like we are now in the fourth season in the row with the same lineup. And I don't even remember how we actually went, like, found each other. I really don't know. Like, you have to ask Kermit or Dragon. Like, they're probably mad that I don't remember. Maybe they said even I did it and chose them, but I don't know.
Yeah. So you've been around since season two with the exact same lineup of you, Kermit, and Dragonstrike. That's pretty impressive. I don't know if there's any other team that's gone four seasons.
I think Tupor to Furious is still with Trinex and Tupor,
and then and Spherefinity, I think.
Yeah, and I think the leftovers kind of are two with Dazed Cloud.
Yeah, they've actually made a couple of changes though, so okay. Those are the few that have remained the same. So your first season, you go 8-6. Season three, you're in for the Invitational, but you almost get relegated that season. Dude. And I think what was one of my favorite series of the entire thing was that last one
against Tito,
against Major Mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Versus it was Dragonstrike and Kermit versus Catabat and Teto. And it was close.
Yeah. We
it
had was to 2-0 intense. Them and both races could have gone the other way.
Yeah. It was such a relegation is kind of like a kind of a feel bad. It does suck that we have it. It's cool and it sucks at the same time, right? Because it's a feel bad when you get relegated, but it also allows people to come up from the open. I get it. But that matchup for you guys that week, that was a co-op. It was some of the best random I've ever seen. Like, I still remember it to this day.
Yeah. And I mean, this is what makes random so fun, right? If there's no relegation, then the spice is missing, right? Like, that right. is what made the situation spicy, because we had to assume we couldn't play Invitational next year, and nobody at the time, not that the Open League isn't competitive, but it was the first Open League at the time, and we looked at a lot of players and were like, dude, this is going to be boring if we go down. Luckily, even for Tito, because like it's we played against our German friends, right? It wasn't mm-hmm. like, oh, damn, we beat them and now they go down. It was still like a slightly bad feeling, because those were our friends, and luckily they were able to come back into Invitational, since a couple of teams didn't join in the next season, so we didn't mm-hmm. really feel so bad. But that season three, I remember talking to you saying we will not stand a chance in this group. You were fully confident for in us. We were like looking at each other and was like, dude, there's someone confident in our skill, but it's not us, it's someone else. What is going on?
Yeah. And I mean, you guys have been good ever since. It's just one of those seasons that just didn't go your way. Now, let me ask you this, because you had two games, week seven, that you didn't play in, right? So you are just a part of the team, but you didn't play in either one of them. What was it like as a spectator, knowing that if they don't win both of these, we're getting relegated? What was it like as a teammate?
So when we played against Major Mistakes, we already knew that Katobat and Alex Hex, that were the teammates of Tito, weren't that much into Rando at the time. Like, Katobat found his new love in Door Randomizer. Shoutouts to him there, mm-hmm. a genius in that mode.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Alex was like a little bit burnt off. So I knew at the time that we are probably the big favorites here. Like, it depends on them to win the game, not on us. Because I had full faith in my guys. Not that I don't have faith in Tito or Kato or Alex, but I thought that my two guys are the favorites here in that combination. And you can see that, I think, a little bit. Like, we three, even though we haven't met in IRL yet, I'm gonna probably meet a Dragon in the next year at some point. Maybe Kermit as well. But even though we've never met, I would definitely say we're very good friends. Like it's not like we're playing every day something together, but our team chat was never inactive. Basically, we were still talking about render related things, other games, other topics. Just and that's like that makes me so comfortable and proud in the team. Even though I'm not performing in any of the league seasons, Fear. Like I'm always negative in stats. I'm always losing all the group matches for some reason. I'm only popping off in playoffs, and we only did that once. So. Oh, actually twice, but the other one was like against Yoshi and the lane, and was the third one, was it Ramond? I don't know, but yeah, some great guys were like, we were clearly the outside force who tries to snatch a win.
Yeah, it looks like season two, you lost to Team Awesome, which was Hitsu, Yoshi, and Ramond.
Oh yeah, that, right. And we had the
who ended up winning.
Fun fact, the race before that, we played Major Mistakes, right? Which we played in the next season in the relegation. Sure, so there you go.
Yeah. So I take it that Team Hime is just having a good time despite the ups and downs, right? It feels like the results aren't the number one priority. It's, are we having a good time playing this?
I mean, if you look at the results, let me check myself. Kermit is 2-1. Dragon is right now playing, is 2-3. And then there's this Ravis guy who's 2-5. So I don't know, dude. This is my problem. Like I'm the only active runner, I would say, in our community. Like Kermit surely is playing here and there a bit later. Dragon sometimes joins like the German weekly that we have once a week. But other than that, I'm the actually one active runner in the team, and I fail every league for some reason. It's the other guys that get the points for us. So do you understand why they played both matches against Major Mistakes? Cause like, I don't want to be the one, like when I don't perform, like even bring us out of the invitation.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's this season going? You're currently 5-6. You mentioned Dragon Sight's literally racing as we record this, as you mentioned, your record's not great. Are you're done playing? I take it.
No, I'm going to play an Animizer.
Oh, you're going to. Oh, okay.
So fun part, in all the leagues we played, we either played against Tedo's team or against Shoulder Yoshi's team in the last week. This year it would have been the same, but obviously because of things, it's Tedo's team now. But this is going to be hard again. And Tedo already said, I don't want to ever play you again in the last week. Stop it. He has so bad experience with us. I got my first solo win this league season, so I'm very proud, even though I messed up in the seed. But it was enough finally to win a group league race solo, because when you take four seasons to get your first win, you know, you definitely made some errors, maybe too many. And I already felt very, very bad for my teammates, even though we're more chilled and not, we are competitive. We love to compete, but we're not mad if someone, you know, messes up somehow. And for my benefit, mostly.
Sure. You can't get mad at anyone, Ravis. You're 2-5, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like I have to get back to the drawing board right now.
Yeah, right. Totally. So let me ask you this. When it comes to the competitive scene, do you prefer the one-on-ones of the main tournaments and the other tournaments that are just, you know, you versus your opponent? Or do you like the league and the team aspect? Or is it a combination of both?
I like both in general. I like the league is because of the team tournament, because like this is like a team environment. All my sports, or mostly all my sports I did personally, were team sports. So I like the team environment, but also the one-on-one is I think this is something I enjoy more than I would have done like a couple of years ago. Cause like being on your own, like satisfaction only or mostly comes from me when I can share it with someone. So it is sometimes hard to do that solo stuff, especially when you mess up and you have to take full responsibility alone. You can't share your emotions basically because you know you're the only one who had like actually were like actually in control of something. But when it comes to co-op modes, I think this is now one of my favorite things. I mean, you know, I like the spoiler lock co-op. That's like the most team based mode we had up until now. in my eyes at least, because it required so much communication and so much like in depth of knowing your at least for a pilot, knowing your runner, how he's comfortable in which dungeons, what you know, what kind of equipment, and then what does the seed give you. You have to think, you have to talk, and specifically with Dragon, who is also a thinker while gaming, respect for that. I can't do that. This is like quite fun, but also with Kermit is more like a little bit of the shaky guy who's unsure a little bit and is worrying a little bit too much here and there.
Sounds like actual Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, I mean, there's right. some relation yeah. there for sure.
The name fits. Yeah. Yeah. So you, I take it you weren't happy to see spoiler co-op go or get the X for season 5 then. You're hoping to see it back for season 6?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought about different races as well, like different modes, but I've not come up with anything cool yet, which would also yeah. be like a 2-on-2 or maybe even something like a 1-on-1 into a 2v2. If I have an idea, we'll post it in the league Discord. But I think when we have like a team environment, we should have a lot of team matches. Yeah. And I mean, yeah. we still have Redrun's Co-op, right? And last year, for example, when I saw that Redrun's is the decider for game 5 in a playoff, I was like, why do you bring a mode that's not been in there, that was only in the ladder? Bring it at least into the group stage, even though I don't like the mode, but at least that justifies bringing it to game 5. Yeah. This year, yeah. they brought it into the group, but for a spoiler lock co-op, so we are all not the entrance players, but at least yeah. you know, you can justify the game 5 now, and in my eyes.
Sure.
And yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see spoiler co-op return. I think you could do spoiler co-op and co-op retrons, maybe get rid of the Animizer one or something.
I don't know. Like I'm relaxed. I'm gonna sit back, maybe give my feedback here and there, and see what the admins offer us. And I will say that something is good or not good in my eyes. Not disrespectfully, but at least I could, sure. I'm gonna, you know, give my opinions on something. And I hope we will see spoiler lock co-op again, because I think this is one of the greatest mod. I've heard that it's hard to like control from the outside, because people could like technically, you know, just use the other yeah. stream, but that's kind of how this race is going, right? Because like,
yeah, I think it's more of the rules lawyering of trying to like parse the spoiler log. Everyone's trying to find a shortcut to get the spoiler logs, and it gets kind of tiring from the admin perspective. I think I'd like to see it come back, though. I think it's a fun mode. And I remember watching when we announced it, your team practiced the shit out of it.
Holy moly. I was like watching every day for like a straight month.
Yeah.
Like it was Christmas. Was really cool. No Christmas for us, dude. It's spoiler keys. It's spoiler keys all the way.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I talk with people like, for example, in the German community, like Ramond, like Scholzer, we're all good pilots, and we don't understand why people are not taking the effort to learning this, because it's super fun. Uh-huh. And also you get to criticize your runner 20 minutes in the end game. It's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You just have to, know,
it is fun.
Control F and look for a word. It's so simple. And then understand where it is.
Yeah.
Think about logic, and you know, that helps you understand like how a seed is really built up when you see it on screen, basically. Mm-hmm. Like surely you can experience your games, specifically in Xenity, but reconstructing every seed perfectly fine, and then think about how it would be optimal to route is pretty difficult. But when you're like building the seed on your own, because you're getting the information and you have to send your runner wherever, I think this is pretty cool and pretty important to understand logic in this game.
Yeah. It was cool watching you guys play it as much as you did. It was really fun from an outsider's perspective, too. You guys really, really mastered it.
I mean, I'm still asking, Dragon. Let me see. I think it was like 3 weeks ago. You want to do a spoiler co-op keys race, maybe? And he was like, dude, it's leak. Like, shut up. It's leak. He's not really into it anymore. But at the time, definitely we wanted to explore that mode, and holy moly, we had so much fun. And you know what's disappointing? I'm not going to mention any names, but our opponents at the time when we finally played them thought they get the regular spoiler when you create a seat and get the normal spoilers that tells you everything, and then they got this text document and they were like, what is this? We've never seen that. And then it was not interesting anymore because we were super practiced, super trained, super hyped. We were doing great. We were ready. And then our opponents got surprised by a sheet that they were not, knowing how to handle it basically, or like just exploring. And then it felt a little bit like, okay, we almost wasted time. But then, right. You remember you had a lot of fun and then it's fine.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's wrap it up with the final question that I ask everyone, and that's about Tilt.
Oh, God.
You're famous, maybe infamous on some of the ways that you've handled Tilt on stream. Maybe not the best, but what's your approach? In your mind, how do you handle the Tilt, whether it's in the middle of the race or at the end of the race, or it doesn't even apply to random, just Tilt in general? What is your approach to it?
I mean, when you have a bad experience in Rendo, whether it be a loss in a race or simply dying to a boss, I think first thing that I should more often do, and I do it more often, is just take a deep breath afterwards. Don't let it come to you. You know you will play Rendo again. You can say it as often as you want. You will touch that game again, at least for me now. And don't stress yourself about it too hard. It is super, super, super hard. And I'm failing regularly. Like, I'm falling off chairs. I'm mad. I'm kicking bags. I'm hurting my foot. Unintentionally, getting my monitors destroyed without, doing basically anything. It just flipped over when I was a little bit emotional and, came across my table. Stuff like that. So you handling Tilt is something I think is either you're super good at it and it's super easy for you, or it's like a life thing. You have to work on that your entire life.
It's game by game, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you handle it game by game.
This is like, for example, this week when I played my cross keys match against Magno, shout out to Magno, by the way. I could have won this race, but I skipped one thing, right? In cross keys, and with my book. And then that last castle tower key that we needed for Ganon, was on the Bombos tablet. So if Ganon is not just behind Aga 1, but anywhere else, I'm winning a cross key seat. Nobody ever would believe I would win a cross key seat, but it almost happened. If you think that way. But then you can't be like, if that item is there or this item is there, because that's random. That's literally random. That is the random part. Like, that's the part that we can't influence. We have to look at our own mistakes. And for example, I played Scottish Brave on ladder yesterday. We had a mold on bounce seat with like a flute on floating island, and she can't mold on bounce. So she had to look for, or like a hover, and she had to look for the hookshot. Luckily, the hookshot was in Hookshot Cave. Well, guess who didn't get it? But I was super mad that I lost with like 2 minutes, but when I looked back, I forgot a key when I climbed up GT. I'd had a 14th try mold on bounce. Like, I can't be mad about that hookshot. I made so many mistakes of my own. And when you realize you have to, you're making mistakes on your own, then you kind of want to at least get those away, and then you get better. And suddenly you can take on some super strong runners. Like, I think I'm still positive against Ari and Letter because I'm not playing him often enough. And at the time when we played, I was lucky. But there's not only luck. You have to get a certain skill to beat some of these insanely good players. And that Tilt is part of that. Because Tilt, when you overcome it and you focus on the things that you did wrong, you will automatically become better. And I think that is what people should focus about. Like, obviously, when something bad happens, it happens, right? Not in the moment.
Yep.
But in the aftermath, when you analyze it, try to find the things that you made wrong. And then you will realize you will have less reasons to be tilted about something else when you see that there are still things to improve. And specifically for me, like, I'm a very, very, very inconsistent player. Like, I can still died to, I don't know, I died to armors in like a week ago or something, like, because I was like in 1.5 hearts. Mm-hmm. I messed up the quick kill and boom, I'm dead. And that's like, that happens to me too frequently, and I'm working on that. But like, tilting alone is not, I think tilting is not something you should look at it as a single piece. Like, it's always connected to mistakes and something to make better. Mm-hmm. Of course, you will have your races where you can't do anything, but yeah, mostly just calm down, look at it, and then focus on the things that you can actually work on, and not that, not on the item placement. Because, like, yeah, decision making is decision making. If someone wants to play Patterson, right, they can.
Right. Yeah. Great advice, man. It's great advice. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It was great to hear your story, man, and I love to hear how passionate you are. I think that's what one of the reasons why I love watching you on your stream is you're a passionate player. You play with a lot of passion. I think that might come from your competitiveness with sports as well.
I mean, definitely it comes for games through, as well, I really appreciate
it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so thanks for doing the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I had a lot of fun with you here. And I appreciate you that you asked me out of a lot of Germans, as you said, to be one of the first, at least. I don't know if I'm the first. I don't think so. If I remember, Ari was on your show already. So yeah, pretty cool to be here.
Huge shout outs to Ravis for coming on the show. Big fan of the dude. Big fan of Team Hime. Big fan of Kermit. Kermit was like one of the first people to like introduce himself to me in the community. He even remembers when I went by a different name. When I first started in the community, I went by my actual name and changed it pretty quickly. And he would still call me by my real name. Makes me chuckle a little bit. But yeah, huge shout outs to Ravis. Thanks again to everyone for listening to the show. Please subscribe if you can. We're available everywhere. If you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that helps the show out. If you could tell your friends about the show, that helps the show out. Make sure you join our Discord. 216pod.com has the links to the Discord. I've been doing all Monday episodes so far for season 3. We'll be back on Monday, December 19th, with another episode. We'll be back on Thursday, December 22nd, with another episode. And then Monday again with the third episode. So 3 episodes in 2 weeks. A Christmas bonus, I guess. Really great conversations coming up with some really fun guests that I'm excited for you all to listen to. Again, I just want to thank you all for listening to the show. It really does mean a lot to me. It's sometimes hard putting something out and you don't get a lot of response to it, but I see the downloads. I know that people are downloading it and listening to it, and so I really do appreciate it. I also want to recommend the Go Mode podcast. I'm sure everyone that listens to this has already listened to or subscribed to the Go Mode podcast, but their last episode, they had a question from Lou Manga about the tournament oversaturation in the community, and it spurred on some great conversations over in their Discord. I have a ton of thoughts about tournament oversaturation, but coming off that Seahawks loss, I really didn't want to get to it. So maybe next week I'll share some of my thoughts on what they talked about. But I'd really recommend listening to Temp, Dante, and Herve talk about it, because I actually agree with a lot of what they said. And really, if you want to know how I feel, I might not even talk about it next episode. Just listen to Herve. Like, I'm pretty in sync with what Herve says, pretty in sync with what Dante says. Check out the Gummo podcast. It's great. All right. Back Monday. Again, thank you all for listening. 216 Weekly this Saturday, noon Eastern. See you next week.